Our scripture reading for the day comes from Luke 19, verses 28 to 40. This is Luke's reporting of a familiar Palm Sunday story. For this Lenten season, we've been journeying with Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. It's been a journey filled with many teachings, healings, a lost son returning home and rejoicing with God because of that. And the journey also included the welcoming of outcasts into the kingdom of God. It truly has been a glorious journey to Jerusalem. And now, with Jesus, we are here at that city. Last week, we looked at Jesus' arrival to the town of Bethany, where he was anointed with a fragrance that symbolized his death and resurrection and divinity that was to come in this week. The time has now come for Jesus to make his way into Jerusalem to publicly declare that the kingdom of God is here. To declare that God's kingdom has come, Jesus forms an impromptu parade. This is a holy parade that is going to fulfill an ancient prophecy that was given long before to the Jewish people by a prophet named Zechariah. Zechariah started his ministry at a great time of sorrow in Israel. In the 6th century, when Zechariah was prophesizing, the Israelites were coming back to their homeland from a time of exile in Babylon. What they found when they returned home was a temple in ruins. Zechariah prophesied hope to the people that there will be renewal. The temple will be rebuilt and there will be peace in the land. Zechariah tells the people in chapter 9, verse 9 of his book, that one of the signs of peace in the land will be when they see a king coming into town righteous and victorious, lowly, but riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The people, when they see this, are to shout and rejoice, because what is happening is the peace that they have been longing for, so deeply longing for, has arrived. So let us now hear these words from Luke 19, verses 28 through 40. This is the fulfillment of that ancient prophecy from long ago. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead and found it just as he had told them, as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, a whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He said, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Here ends our reading for the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Friends, our middle hymn is titled, "Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates." This is a hymn that you will find in your green hymnal, as always. And for those of you at home, the words will be coming into the comments down below. Friends, let us praise our Lord together. You may be seated. Friends, let us join together in a spirit of prayer. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and celebrations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So one thing you have to know about me is I'm a person that loves to make lists. I make a ton of lists all the time. If you open up the notepad section on my phone, all you will see is bunches and bunches of lists. I have my favorite list is a list of yogurts that I like, because when I go to the grocery store, there's a lot of yogurts, and I get very confused with the different brands and of the things that I like. So I have the list of my preferred yogurts. And whenever I go to the grocery store, I always have to open up that list. So that's a very important list to me. The other important list to me is a list of my favorite pop stars of all time. And I think you all know me well enough to know who's number one on that list, so I won't go into that. So that's an important list on my phone. The other lists I have are lists of restaurants that all of you keep giving to me. So please keep giving them to me, because I actually go to these places. So you can keep giving those to me. So that's an important list on my phone. And then my other favorite list is my book list. And so whenever people give me book recommendations, I always have to put them on this list. That list is very long too, and I'm trying to find time to make it through that list. But I made a new list this week as I read this text today for our Sunday's text. And this list was titled My Most Favorite Parades of All Time. Now, I've been to a lot of parades, so I narrowed it down to three that I was going to share with you. So here are my top three favorite parades of all time that I've ever been to. So number three, in my town of Lisbon, Maine, we have a parade every summer. And this parade is in honor of the soda called Moxie. How many of you have ever heard of Moxie? Yes, it's a New England thing. So Moxie is an acquired taste. To me, it tastes like tree bark. But some people really like it. I've never met a person who's in between on it. It's either New Englanders either love it or they hate it, right? So, but the parade we have is really fun. And so it happens every summer, and they shut down the whole main street. And, you know, we have this big parade. And my mom, back when I was younger, she owned a business. So we had a float in the parade. So it was very exciting each summer to get dressed up in these crazy costumes and throw candy at my friends who were on the line of the street. I felt very important because I could give as much candy as I wanted to whoever I wanted. So that parade made me feel important and special. So that's number three. My number two top parade was a couple years ago when I was down in Tampa and got to see the Buccaneers celebrate their Super Bowl and watch TB12 toss the Lombardi Trophy over a section of the Hillsborough River. That was pretty interesting to see. I was right there, and so that was fun. And then my number one, my top favorite parade was when I was 10 years old, and it was my first trip to Disney World, and I got specially picked out of the crowd to dance, do this like coordinated dance. I think Pluto and Goofy were there, but I felt like a celebrity. I was picked out among the crowd and I got to do this dance. And I think the whole rest of the day, like, I never let my siblings forget that I was the one that was picked out. And so that meant that I was Disney royalty. So those are my top three favorite parades that I have been to. And we're talking about parades today because parades are a chance for us as a community to rejoice and come together around a cause or a holiday and celebrate. It's been so hard the last two summers without any parades, right? I don't know about you, but I think I took for granted parades and just the joy that they bring. And celebration does bring us together. Parades help us remember and honor the past and also provide a shared joy and laughter. And I think Jesus understood that well, too. I think he knew the power and symbolism of a good parade. So almost two millennia ago, on a Sunday morning just like this, in this time of year, a parade broke out along the east side of Jerusalem. This was no meticulously planned parade with permits or city permits or anything like that. It wasn't planned out by any of the people who lined the streets that day. No, in many ways, this was an impromptu, spontaneous celebration meant to honor a king who was entering Jerusalem. That parade took place on Palm Sunday, and that person being honored was our Lord Jesus. And like many of our modern-day parades, this was an important event. This parade reminds us of who Jesus is and what kind of king he has come to be. Furthermore, the events of this Palm Sunday help us to prepare for the amazing things that we are about to see in this Holy Week. So how did this impromptu parade come about? Well, Jesus knows his mission, and he knows that his time has come to declare that to the people. Jesus understands that he is the fulfillment of that prophecy that we read a little bit before in Zechariah. So he tells his disciples to go ahead of him and grab a colt in a village. The disciples follow Jesus' instructions to a T, which is very impressive to me because I can often forget instructions when I'm about to do something. But they follow it. They recite verbatim what Jesus had told them to say if anyone questioned why they were taking something that didn't belong to them. The disciples' faith is highlighted here by Luke. And why does Luke spend so much time talking about a colt anyways? Half of our passage today was about this colt. What's the big deal? Well, to understand the symbolism of Jesus coming to Jerusalem on a colt, we need to put on our first century glasses, because the greatness of this moment would not have been missed by the original audience. When Roman governors wanted to celebrate their latest war victories, they would put on triumphal entries into the cities to display their military power. The Roman army and rulers would often march into cities just like Jerusalem, and they would be riding majestic stallions that would scream to the people, "Look at all this wealth, prestige, and power." The reason Luke devotes so much time to the story of the colt here is because he is trying to show how Jesus' triumphal entry was different than the others that the crowd was used to. The colt here symbolizes peace, and Jesus knew that. The Romans brought military might with their parades, but Jesus with his was bringing true peace and the kingdom of God. Because of Jesus, the spiritual war is over, and we're living in a time of peace with our God. A peace which surpasses all understanding, a peace which will last forever and bring new life. Luke then reports that after the disciples got the colt, they brought it to Jesus. And did you hear what happens next? They physically seat Jesus on this colt. The seating of Jesus is a sign of kinship. There is a bond here. The disciples recognize the importance of the moment, and they show Jesus that they are with him in this moment. Now, what happens after this moment is different, but for right now, they are with him. It's a big celebration, and they are right beside him. They put their coats on the ground to show solidarity to Jesus as king. Now, like today, clothing back then was also a symbol of status. So throwing their coats to the ground, they are showing that they regard Jesus as king. They are laying aside all that they have and giving it to Jesus. And this causes a joyous celebration to break out during the parade. Now, have you ever been so excited about a parade that you celebrate loud and proud and not care who is around you? Do you know? Yeah, you know that feeling that I'm talking about. It's a good feeling. That feeling that you have when a Boston sports team is parading down Boylston Street with a new trophy, that's the same excitement here that the disciples have. They are celebrating Jesus for all the miracles that they have seen. Do they fully understand the moment? Probably not. Do they expect Jesus to be a political Messiah and defeat Rome? Probably. But Jesus, despite their expectations, welcomes and embraces their celebration right here. And just as Jesus welcomed and embraced the disciples' celebrations, he also welcomes and embraces our celebration. There are always going to be some out there that try to rain on our parades. That's just the reality of life. As a wise pop star saying, the haters are really always going to hate, hate, hate. Like the Pharisees are doing here in this passage. See what I did there? But Jesus is always on our side as an advocate. He rebukes the Pharisees and praises the disciples for their celebration. He says to them, there's nothing that can stop this celebration, because if the disciples aren't going to do it, the physical ground, the stones, will cry out in celebration. There's nothing on earth that can stop the celebration from happening. Our God is a God that is worthy of all the earth's praise and honor. The whole earth celebrates God's glory, so we should too. And I believe the act of celebrating can be a spiritual discipline that we can add to our lives. But how can we celebrate when there's so much sadness happening around us? A global pandemic, war, headlines in the news that leave us sad and anxious. It doesn't seem like this is the right time to celebrate. Yet Jesus reminds us in this text that he's honored through celebration. We do have to remember that right now in Israel's history, it wasn't an ideal time for Jesus' parade either. That's why the Pharisees are trying to stop it. They don't want to upset Rome and cause a massacre to happen, a political uprising back then. So maybe there really isn't a good time to celebrate. We just have to express what we're feeling in the moment, and God is honored through that. The disciples did just that, and they were praised by God through their celebration. And these last 2 years have been so hard, and you might not feel like you're in a place to celebrate this Holy Week. And I want you to hear me say that that is okay. God welcomes and embraces every emotion that we might be feeling. So if you're not ready to celebrate, it's okay to say that to God. God hears that. God's light is still shining on you today in whatever state you find yourself in this Holy Week. And maybe that light and the loving embrace of God can lift your spirits and cause you to maybe do an impromptu celebration when you're least expecting it. The kingdom, to celebrate the kingdom in all of its goodness. Because the Spirit is alive and we have been given new life in Christ. This world is not as it should be, but that's not the end of the story, and we will explore that further this week, because Jesus is coming back to restore true peace to this earth, and that's the hope that we celebrate this Holy Week. And it's a week filled with so many different emotions as we will ride this emotional roller coaster together, but next Sunday we will end at the top and celebrate together, because all of these emotions are valid. But don't miss the chance to celebrate the kingdom this Holy Week, because Jesus welcomes and embraces our celebration. Amen. Our closing hymn today is appropriately titled Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. And this is where we get to celebrate Jesus and his kingdom that has fully come, just as the disciples did. And we get to celebrate with our palm branches again. So if you want to continue to wave them, you most certainly can, as we sing these words together, and they will be dropping in to the